Hey, yo, what's up? You're listening to Pod of Talk, where we talk pods, pod talks, and talk about everything Magic, the Gathering, and whatever else we fucking feel like talking about on any given day. I will never have a standardized intro. My name is Bugs Matrix, and with me today is the very lovely...
Jordan. Oh, no, sorry, Vi. Vi is here.
No. I didn't know what the order of operations was.
We can feel so that. Terrible. I just stepped over... No,
you're fine, you're fine.
We got to keep this gold in, are you kidding?
We are doing the damn thing.
All right, in that case, I'm going to have y'all fight to the death to say who introduces first.
My name is Vi. I just kind of hang out. I'm Bugs' partner. I play a lot of Magic, but am not in the goobies about it like Bugs is. Yeah, I'm very casual about it, but I do enjoy it a lot.
You're also my co-host of Attic Magic, where we play Attic and a Magic.
That is true. We are now seated in the titular attic. But, like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, you come home and you're, like, scheming about three different deck types, and you're, like, multi-brewing decks, and I'm over here like, hey, babe, what's good? You're surrounded by card piles.
We can get it. Good? We can talk about that if you want, but Jordan, you want to do your little dibbly doo?
Yeah, no, I unfortunately know exactly what it's like to be brewing too many decks and have too many deck ideas. Hi, I'm Jordan Black, also known as Dead Domain, and you probably know me from political content if you know me at all on YouTube, where you can find most of the videos I do, and I also do this and play video games on Twitch and talk about politics there sometimes too.
But there's no magic in politics, or politics and magic. I'm doing great at...
I mean,
you're doing great at Looch right now, oh my god.
I mean, there's
That's also not true, Bugs, because, I don't know if you know this, but J.D. Vance famously plays Magic the Gathering.
Oh my god.
I can't believe that we have a fucking vice president who's a former Yawgmoth player.
Is that confirmed?
Because that definitely tracks.
I can't say for certain if it's definitely confirmed, but it feels correct.
Oh my god.
What a concept.
When I'm brewing decks, I have to ask myself, is this something J.D. Vance would put in it? And if the answer is yes, it's too much for the board. It's too much
right,
for the
board. Of course.
Wait, so you're asking yourself WWJD?
Yes, WWJD.
God,
J.D. Vance, you would hate my commander.
I'm just gonna chalk it up to a rumor. Like I, he can't tarnish this for me. I'm sorry.
It's been a fun, weird time. Well, the fun. It's been a weird time lately because I've been caught between a Magic release that I've been looking forward to for literally months and months.
Yeah.
Innistrad Remastered. And Innistrad Remastered and being able to draft it and making a bunch of Innistrad themed decks, the rest of the world has kind of just been on fire. So it's been this really weird, like, back and forth for me.
Yeah. No, I think
reasonable.
We can relate to the unhinged juxtaposition of being like, well, I'm gonna open a news app and see something horrible and be like,
no, I've been avoiding it. Okay, like, and the problem is for me is like, I'm not even working that much, so it's like I have so much time on my hand. I am getting up to so many projects. I have made so many noodle based meals.
You've made so much broth from scratch.
I'm getting into like projects now. I'm doing little things. Oh my god.
Yeah, no,
I'm the same way with except my projects are all just making. I was telling Bugs earlier that I have now completed the color wheel for vampire decks because
I love vampires. Let's go.
I didn't really had so blue many. Vampires or oh, green vampires. Oh,
that is the most Innistrad thing ever. Oh, yeah.
Blue vampires are very like Ravnica, like very demure.
Ravnica vampires, duh.
Okay.
Right, because I'm like, okay, yeah, like you've got Innistrad gets us the Rakdos side of things, plus Mardu, if we're thinking about it. We've got all the conquistador-ass vampires from Ixalan.
Yeah.
So the one green legendary that I could think of, so it's technically a green vampire deck, but it is a split tribal, is Galta and Mavren.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
Nope, that, because I'm like, where have we had a green vampire? I'm like, is there a vampire elf that I'm not thinking, is there a vampire elf?
There has to be.
But yeah, there's Astarion, but he's Orzhov.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is he the only vampire elf, you think?
No, like, that shouldn't be.
There's gotta be another one, I think.
I'm like, vampires are the most aristocratic, like, type beings. Throw some elvish in
there. Astarion's the only one.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Okay, work.
That's so goofy.
Yeah, my vampire knowledge has expanded exponentially in the last couple months.
Nice.
Because I have just been building nonstop vampire shit from mono red vampires to Boros vampires and pretty much everything in between. It's been a nonstop little side hobby to this hobby that has kept me busy and kept the horrors at bay slightly.
I mean, I've been working on a Lorwyn Draft Chaff cube, so I can relate.
Jeez, and you built me that insane deck yesterday. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. We worked together on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
No. I had the idea. You make it happen. I'm like, we have so many cards at this point, and I don't know where any of them are. So it's just kind of like, hey, babe. I have an idea. You should go make this for me. Like,
okay, but Bugs, do you have those cards in about two dozen piles, and you know exactly which one every pile is?
Oh, you know it.
Yeah.
Oh, you fucking know it.
Yeah, like, you and me are on the same wavelength.
Like, literally yesterday, I was looking for certain cards, and I'm like, Vi, can you find me X, Y, and Z cards? I think it would be in these different like bundle boxes for like these sets. They're not from the set, but I'm like, I think it would be sorted with this kind of card. We're missing one card from it. We had the old school proxy. An Insidious Roots is just a basic island.
Nice.
But we'll find it eventually. It's in the apartment, probably.
Right.
I probably didn't need it.
Like, the duck's position, though, because you know where every card is, and, like, I set my glasses down, and 5 minutes later, I've lost them, so, like, it's a good bit.
It's a great bit.
So, as part of that, did we want to just jump right into talking about, I feel like the thing of the moment is Innistrad Remastered.
Oh, I would fucking love to talk about Commander Masters 2025.
That's actually an interesting way to look at it. Sorry, continue what you were saying.
Well, I just, like, am I wrong? Innistrad's, like, full of fucking commander staples.
And it is a set that is
of so many of them.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It is a set that is, like, full of, like, hard hits, for sure. But I don't know. I've been so to start off the conversation. How much have we played/opened of Innistrad Remastered first?
We have not had a chance to open any. We're actually planning on probably this weekend.
I am straight up waiting for my paycheck to hit, and this is what we're doing. Like,
yeah.
I love this set. Like, I've not played it as much as I'd want to, but I am fascinated by the art and, like, the environment and everything. It's great.
I think the game plan is going to be to do a kind of sealed at home situation.
Okay.
And maybe open one or two collector boosters, because I've heard doing that actually has hits.
Oh my god.
What was your experience with the set, Ben?
Oh yeah, I should probably talk about that. Speaking of kids.
Oh my god, no, I heard about that.
this was a new experience for me because I decided when it came out, I've literally been looking forward to this set for, it is not an exaggeration to say I've been very much waiting with like bated breath for months for this set. I've been really excited. I just got back from a journalism trip covering the DC inauguration, So I was like within a day or two of the launch and my store doing a draft, I was ready for it.
Yeah, yeah, you and were so, retail therapies.
Yeah, 100%. Especially 100%. After that. Oh my god.
And so I went before the draft, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to a smaller, closer store that isn't doing a draft, but I know they have boosters and collectors, and I'll grab two collector boosters. And I think I got four or five just regular booster packs just to get a feel for the set. And So I went, and the plan was, okay, I'm going to get some boosters, crack them, go to my, I have a like kind of a local sushi place that they let me use their Wi-Fi, and I will just chill and eat. And I usually do writing for my videos there because I can, they'll let me sit there for 3 or 4 hours, just chill. Yeah. And so I ordered food, sat down, was like, okay, going to crack the packs. Cracked the first collector booster. I don't remember what I got. I got something okay. I think I got a full art Thalia. And
oh, sick.
Yeah, like I got something that was like, okay, cool. And then the second one, and I've never had one of these cards before. So this was a new experience for me. I managed to crack the only serialized card in the set. A Edgar Markov, number 399 out of 500.
Oh my god.
And oh my god. I didn't realize, because I at first I was like, oh shit. And then I saw the serialized number. I was like, oh shit. And yeah. I didn't realize how much that, which it makes sense, right? Because technically there is only one of each number. So there is only one card like that on the planet. Yeah.
Ever.
And, so when I saw the prices that people were actually selling them for, like the last sale prices on like TCG Player, I was fucking shook. I was like quite literally, I think I was telling you, Bugs, that like my hand started shaking. I was like,
oh my god, I can only imagine.
Yeah, because that's like, that's a fucking Willy Wonka. A serialized card, even like just a more of a lesser value card or whatever, is still fucking nuts. But like a serialized Edgar Markov, this being the first time he's been reprinted in like almost 6 years, the vampire commander that everyone wants, they might go for a little bit of money.
It was, I think, the last at the time. And granted, you know, everybody's like, okay, well, it, you know, prices will go down. I'm holding on to some of my pulls right now so that when the market kind of evens out, I can figure out if I want to sell them or keep them. But yeah, with the serialized version, it was like I looked it up, and at the time, one of them had sold for about $3,400.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
and yeah. So I immediately like. Within an hour, because I had already ordered my food. So I basically sat there eating and like keeping an eye on the card because I had put it
Oh my god.
Well, in an inner sleeve. Yeah, because I'm not gonna just like get up and leave right. But yeah, so anyway. I clutched that thing on my way home. I held it. I did not put it in a bag or anything. I held it against like a kind of like the package of sleeves that I had, so it wasn't gonna, you know, bend or lose its shape or anything.
Thank God you had sleeves on you.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh my God. And I was like I holding it with more care than I think I would a human child. Honestly. Yeah.
Well, a human child, I'm not gonna finish that sentence. Never mind.
And within an hour of pulling it, I had figured out how to send it away and had shipped it with the best possible shipping and return and everything expedited to PSA. And I actually got the notification today that it has been received and they are working on the full submission. So hopefully I will have it back in a matter of days and have to look into auctioning it.
I cannot wait to hear what the grading is. Just like that's so fucking exciting, dude. Like holy shit.
I'm now super because I'm sure it'll be like a 9 something because like I was I'm generally pretty careful with cards. I am not even for stuff that's like, okay, here's a full art, but it's a common or something. I like to keep them nice. I like to, you know, I want to be able to use them for a long time.
That's fair.
And so like, I'm very ginger and very careful. And yeah, it's, it was that has been, that was the beginning of what I would can only really describe as an insane streak of luck.
I was going to say, I feel like you've sent me a couple other things you opened.
Yeah, so I went to the draft that night, and regular draft setting where everybody, you know, we buy three packs, you open one, pick one, pass one, and the second pack I opened of play boosters not only had an Edgar Markov, but a Meat Hook Massacre.
Oh, yo, that's awesome. Oh my god.
Pack one, pick one right now.
And I was so I was like, okay, so I had to, at the shop they have a rule that if you get a god pack, you can just like buy a new pack. And so I did that. Yeah. And then later that night, I think the last pack I showed you was like, you know what? I'm gonna roll the dice, I'm gonna get another collector booster. Okay. And it was the showcase Edgar Markov, so my third one in a day.
Oh my god.
And the other rare was
Crimson Vow
border.
Oh my, that's my favorite version of it.
It's beautiful. And
that's like,
oh my god.
One of the other rares was foil Emrakul.
Why not? Yeah. Why not? Was this all in one day?
Yeah.
That's insane.
A matter of hours.
Oh my god.
And I will say, I have not had nearly as much luck since. I have had a lot of good pulls. I have been, again, kind of retail therapying. I have now bought two boxes, boxes.
Play booster, please say play booster.
Play booster.
Thank God. I got mine
and I got the good deals on them. I got them for well under because the MSRP is like 200 something.
Yeah.
And I got them for roughly I pre-ordered one at 160 and I got another with some bonus bucks I had saved up at a local store. So I'm not out here slinging $400 for two boxes by any
stretch. Yeah, I was gonna be like
girly
like,
pop.
Like, I was going to be like, baby girl, do what you got to do, but like, let's.
Oh my God.
I've had some good pulls. I've had two more Meat Hook Massacres. I just got a retro border Avacyn, good Avacyn. I've had two of the, who's the Giselda? I've had two Giseldas.
Oh, have you cracked her better half?
No, I have not. I have not gotten a Bruni yet, which is kind of a bummer because I would love to meld them.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like, I want to live the dream and meld them sometime.
I managed to live a little bit of a dream, and I managed to meld Graph Rats in the draft.
Oh my god.
Graph Rats. Fucking. I love. Pauper legal. I don't think it's pauper playable, but pauper legal. Graph Rats, baby.
Yeah, I love the melding. Well, and I think so. Melding as a mechanic, that's actually a really good jumping off point into.
Yeah.
I think my feelings on the whole set.
Yes, let's go for it.
Which are very. So I think one of the things that sets Innistrad apart from a lot of other planes is that a lot of the mechanics are very insular to those sets as like a draft format where like you can have Eldritch Moon and the Eldrazi stuff, but like that isn't going to necessarily fit in with other draft formats, even within Innistrad, because you're not going to have as much Eldrazi or mutation or flipping stuff.
Right.
And I think the same goes for the fact that they've had two different kinds of werewolves. The fact that they have, you know, some of the Innistrad sets have a lot of reliance on like madness and discarding as a mechanic. And I like a lot of those things in abstract, but I think in a draft environment, it d- doesn't, it's a bizarre selection they've gone with because it doesn't quite close the gaps enough to form like a cohesive experience. But at the same time, while it has a ton of hits, don't get me wrong. Like I've been listening off some great fucking cards. And there is something to the idea of like it being kind of a commander set because it is. I keep running into these, like even in the common slot, keep running into stuff that I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this aside because, you know, Tragic Slip or Eaten Alive or like there are all these
Raven Inspector.
Yeah, just good veggies.
Raven Inspector. Like, yeah, just good stuff that is like, okay, I want this card and I'm going to keep it even if I have 10 because I might make a deck one day and I can't find them. Like it is meat and potatoes ass magic, just good commander standards. And it is packed with those. And on the other half, it has a lot of great cards that haven't seen reprints like Edgar Markov and Grizzlebrand and Archangel Avacyn. And like, so it's hard to knock that, but I think I am, some of that is tempered by my disappointment in the like draft format,
right?
It's because that, it is not great at that.
That's like
that
really
makes me sad.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate to hear because like there's so many things that I'm like, well, this like could work with that, like the Madness cards, like Madness and Flashback and like Blood Tokens and Discard. I'm like, there's absolutely something that I would like hope to have happen there, or like at least thank God they only picked one type of werewolf.
Like, yeah, and so here's one of the other things that really got me thinking as a, sorry, it's my dog. Here's one of the other things that really got me thinking about like, okay, how would you go about fixing this? And I had this idea that, because they've done these, this is the fourth remastered set, right? Dominaria, Ravnica, Time Spiral,
and now, yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish that they would, at least for Innistrad, I think it would have been an interesting experiment to tie in, because they also have cards that they've reprinted that aren't originally Innistrad.
Yeah.
I wish they would have kind of tightened up the edges a little bit, taken off some of the stuff that didn't work as well, and in fact, use the idea of returning to a plane almost like a Brothers War way to kind of revisit the history of an event, but through the eyes of post March of the Machine. So what does Innistrad look like after March of the Machine? So we get like a little bit of aftermath flavor, but then also here are cards looking at the history of Innistrad as though looking back through the stories about the plane and that are being retold. Sorry, that's my dog again.
That could be fucking sick. Like, what would you do? You have any ideas of cards that you would want to see like Innistradified kind of through that lens? Like, I dig
off
this.
The top of my head, like I feel like you could do tons of them. You could do, you know, just like if you wanted to do more classic stuff like Dark Writ or like anything really.
Yeah.
New takes on the angels. Look at like any of the Phyrexianized angels, or if they got de-Phyrexianized, or what is going on with like the Thraben township and all of the Avacyn kind of priests, and like there are so many things you could do looking at those things.
Yeah, no, I could see just like using this as a little bit more of a true, not just a remaster of the plane, but like it's a remix instead of a remaster. And so you're doing
exactly.
Like,
I feel because like that'd be a lot more cohesive.
Well, and the thing is, and I think that way they could make everything fit, like I said, fit together a little bit and have a little bit more wiggle room to be creative. The one thing I would have liked to have seen, and it brought me back to this, cause I'm like, okay, they need one of these because it is so hard to build around like werewolves and stuff, especially as somebody who loves commander. You have one werewolf commander. You've got Tovalar, and everything else just doesn't fit because you're never at a commander table where somebody isn't playing a spell every turn.
Like, yeah.
And so like werewolves, but also Tovalar's effect works on both kinds of werewolves. So it's one of those things where I was like, okay, they should have, you know, if they had been able to introduce new cards and stuff, okay, here's an artifact, or here's another commander that lets you transform all cards, or here's more stuff that works to kind of unite all these disparate mechanics like Madness, like Transformation, like the Eldrazi stuff. It works to unite them in a way that allows for a little bit more interaction. I think that would have been the move.
That would have been really fucking sick. Like,
and I don't want to sound like I dislike the set, because I really, really don't. I love Innistrad so much. This is now, I have opened boxes for Shadows, Midnight Hunt, Crimson Vow, and then two remastered. So like, I fuck with Innistrad hard.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like a total write-off as a disappointment or anything. I think there are so many great, memorable bangers, even though a lot of people, I've seen a lot of kind of derision over excluding classic hits, like I think Parallel Lives was one of them.
Parallel Lives and Cavern of Souls are the biggest.
Cavern of Souls, which misses. I do understand, though, because those were fairly recently reprinted in Caverns of Ixalan and Wilds of
Eldraine. Yeah, no, I would agree with both the reprint and also, like, for a draft environment, Parallel Lives is, unless you're, like, literally money drafting, like, just don't fucking, like, it's a bad card, it's dead in hand. Like,
I mean, it's basically just kind of worse doubling season.
Yeah, like, there's, unless you definitely know that you're just gonna go for token support, but then it's like, okay, It's four or five mana? It's Parallel Lives. Four or five mana.
It's five.
It's five. Yeah, it's strictly worst doubling season. Like, or I mean, doubling season is five too. But like, you're not, if you're thinking about like these cards in a limited environment,
mm-hmm.
that one's just kind of worth excluding.
Yeah. I see the logic for that.
Well, I can speak from semi-personal experience here. A friend of mine has an original Innistrad block cube, and the last time I drafted it, my pack one rare was Parallel Lives, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna take a cheap werewolf.
Smart.
Like, I'm not gonna try to make that work. I forced Delver Mill.
Jeez,
I forced Delver Mill.
Oh, jeez.
It was
as somebody, I have my stupid. Is it zombies mostly in Innistrad?
Ooh, is it zombies?
It goes hard. It goes hard.
Man, I'm a huge Izzet player, so that sounds fun as fuck.
I haven't been able to play it since I got the my rooftop storm, so I'm very excited.
I was just about to ask if you got one of those in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've gotten a couple of those. I've gotten a couple rooftop storms, a couple. The enchantments they have, I'm very excited to see how they shake up some of my decks, especially like Mass Hysteria, which was one of the reprinted non-Innistrad cards.
I'm so into the art of the Mass Hysteria reprint. Like, it just rules.
Oh my god, yo, that's cool as hell.
And I think the art is such a big part of why I'm loving this set, because all of the remastered remade art, and especially the full art cards, are just so gorgeous. They are unbelievably pretty.
They're just sick as hell. Like, the new Hullbreaker Horror.
And Hullbreaker Horror, I've unfortunately gotten a lot of. I think my two most pulls are Hullbreaker Horror and something Hermit.
Hermit Druid?
Yeah.
Hermit Druid's a good card.
They are, but I've had four of each. Yeah.
Is Hermit Druid seeing play in any four of format?
Some people, so that was the other fun part of being able to draft, is seeing like a lot of these cards that, again, things like the melding cards, you're probably not going to see too much of it in Commander. Like, you can,
right?
But unless you have tutors and stuff, being able to pull the two cards that meld together is a little far-fetched.
Right, like, even if one of them's your Commander. Like,
Exactly. And it's like, okay, so being able to play the chittering host and meld it together and flip them over. Or I'm really hoping to do another draft where if I can get Hanweir, the Hanweir. Oh.
Battleman in Township, I believe.
Yep, or... and the writhing Township is so gross and dumb and weird.
I played a game of Commander the other day where one of the players pulled off that meld on turn like 5, and we all
let's
cheered.
Go.
Like, oh my god! Shout out Empress Quinn for pulling off the sickest shit I've ever like. I love the art. For the writhing
it's
township.
It's so good.
It's so fucking perfect. Like.
Oh.
I'm pulling it up for Vi right now.
Oh my god.
It's.
That's gnarly, man. Oh yeah. My god, let's go.
Like, let's fucking go. And like, also the other two cards that make it happen, like, are just kind of worth drafting.
Yeah.
Like.
Like on their own, they're perfectly solid.
Hanweir Garrison's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, somebody actually, it was very funny because somebody the week or so before, somebody actually, I guess it is kind of viable in Commander because somebody brought out Hanweir Garrison in Commander and melded it, and it kind of wrecked shop, not gonna lie.
It's just pretty dece. Like, I think especially if you're in mono red. Unless it would like truly break flavor for whatever you're going for, I think that it's like you make tapped and like you make tokens that you can throw around to other people, and Battlements gives shit haste. Like,
good card,
pretty dece.
Yeah,
pretty commander playable.
And I think that's kind of the like I it's why what gave me pause when you said Commander Masters, because it's like. It kind of does feel that way. Whereas Foundations was very okay. That like there, don't get me wrong. There's some good Foundations cards, but a lot of it was very focused on draft and 60 card, obviously, because kind of the basis for 60 card stuff,
right?
Going forward, and this feels a little bit more unfocused. Not that it wasn't fun to draft, but there were a lot of times when you're putting together and going through. And the packs being passed around where I was just kind of like, okay, what is like, I know there are clear, strategies here between all the different, you know, like, okay, spirits and making tokens and, graveyard recursion and zombies, like that is all pretty self-explanatory, but I feel like it came down to some of the selections not being as strong,
like as viable as you'd hope them to be.
Yeah, and then also the fact that they did reprint stuff from other sets, but in a way that helped the... Like, I am glad that there are those new arts. I'm totally fine with that. I think that makes it a more interesting environment than just, here is all the cards you remember. But I do wish that they had done a little bit more to make it more just cohesive as a self-contained environment.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, if I can be playing a fucking Faithless Looting and a Mayor of Avabruk at the same, like, I'm not mad. I love Mayor of Avabruk. I think it's such a funny card.
Yeah, I just have to get my Tovalar Bemboy Wolf proxy finally made.
Yes.
Yo. Yes. Oh my god, that's awesome.
Oh my god.
I don't like any of the art for Tovalar, but I have a fully werewolf deck that actually kind of does. I think it does as good as a Gruul werewolf deck could do.
Uh-huh. Oh my god.
That's fun.
I mean, I'm one to talk. I'm kind of teasing out a Gruul Dandan that's original Innistrad werewolf based.
Oh my god.
Great. Awesome.
I've ordered 5 Kessig Wolf Runs. I love Kessig Wolf Run. Was that in the set? Was that in the set?
Oh my gosh.
I don't think so. I haven't
not in the set.
Well, you have.
All right, bad set. All right.
Bad set.
No, let's go. No Kessig Wolf Run. Fucking robbed.
But yeah, I like, I'm still going to be putting a lot of cards into my bulk. I'm still going to be putting a lot of cards into the weird kind of Innistrad, what's the word? Box? Bolt? What? Why am I cube? Just blanking? Cube. God damn. Yes. Thank you.
Words are hard sometimes.
And they are.
Cube tonight?
My box. Want to play box?
Play box. Look at my square.
But yeah, that has been, I have opened a lot of it. A lot of them have gone right into my various Innistrad themed decks. I was talking to Bugs, I think yesterday or the day before. I just messaged you. I was like, dude, I have like 30 commander decks and I don't know how it happened.
Which is, I truly cannot relate because I keep taking them apart.
Oh, I keep taking some of them apart, but I feel like they are multiplying much faster than I take them apart.
Yeah, it's just fun to brew. I mean, like we were saying at the top of this, like, it's just kind of a good time. Like, right now is kind of necessary to, if you need a distraction. Just doing a little brewing.
Doing a little brewing. Oh, speaking of which, I finally, and I meant to talk about it at the beginning, because I think I told you about Marilyn of the Morn Song.
Oh, yeah. The heinous, you want
mono black elf commander I've crafted. That is
from
Lorwyn block.
Yeah, it is. I'm gonna.
All right.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So for those of y'all who don't know Marilyn of the Morning Song, this is from Morningtide, which I love Lorwyn block so much. It's 1/2 black legendary creature elf wizard. Players can't draw cards. At the beginning of each player's draw step, that player loses 3 life, searches their library for a card, puts it into their hand, and shuffles. Jordan, what the fuck did you put in this?
So, when I sent it to you, I was musing ways I could do stuff with it that would be the most evil thing possible. And I had actually discovered something much faster than what I sent to you, because I was like, okay, turn 3... Marilyn, turn 4, if I could get out Crick, son of Yawgmoth, and then turn 5, I can get out Doomsday Excruciator.
Yeah, my boy. I look, oh, I see you're also a person of culture. So, I love Cricking into an Excruciator, like,
and I managed to cut out a middleman here. In turn 4, by already having Dark Writ in hand, I can play Doomsday Excruciator and have on the 4th turn of the game, when most people are still like getting a board state and putting out mana rocks. And let me tell you, able to exile everybody's library except for their last 6 cards, it doesn't matter what happens after that, I've won.
Oh my god.
I have created the requisite chaos I require to have fun. And everybody else, because at that point, also nobody wants to get rid of Marilyn anymore, because they are just going to tutor through their 6 cards that they have. But I'm thinking, with Innistrad Remastered, I'm thinking of putting 2 more cards in there that I've drawn multiples of, those being Triskaidekaphobia and the Perdition Tree.
Oh, I love Perdition. Tree of Perdition.
Tree of Perdition, yes.
Tree of Perdition, fucking, oh my god.
Ooh.
Okay, so wait. Oh god. Yeah.
I also put Pit of Despair in Marilyn, which was a very funny thing to do.
Pit of Despair, that's, remind me of that one?
Or is it, or maybe it's Bottomless Pit.
Oh, is that from the Yawgmoth Commander deck?
No, it is, maybe. It is, it's at the beginning of your upkeep, each player sacrifices, or, discards a card at the beginning of their upkeep, is the, rule text, basically.
Oh my god, You want a fun stacks piece for it, potentially?
Because I have I have plenty. I have like oppression in there too, and it's
it you gets got
gross.
Kuan Ogre Ascendant.
Ooh,
from Saviors of Kamigawa.
Okay.
So it's
oh yeah. I actually think I have this somewhere.
He's a legendary ogre monk, which rocks, and it has at the beginning of the end step, if three or more creatures died this turn, flip him. Then he becomes Kuan's essence, and has at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature of their choice.
That kind of whips.
It's pretty gnarly.
So my next, I meant to bring this up at the beginning, because somebody was talking about insane commander shenanigans. I think my next goal is to try and win with Triska Decaphobia. And also, I believe it is entirely possible with Marlin and other things like oppression to get the game in a state where nobody can draw and everybody's discarded their entire hand.
That,
yeah.
What? Oh my god, that's just terrible. That is so mean. Oh my god.
Yeah, that rocks.
Oh.
And I think I would have to do, I have to find something that lets people skip upkeep so they can't tutor either. But I will solve this problem of people having fun at my table.
Yeah. No. How bad, how dare the frickin' the beer and popcorn casual format be a silly place?
No, not at my, like, here's the other thing is being able to tutor for anything and then being able to have a full rotation to decide what I want to do next. I'm able to do so many stupid things. Like, Bugs, I had a turn last game I played with Marlin where I had Helm of the Host on Vaugavoth, and I made three Vaugavoths.
Oh,
God.
And it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
That's incredible.
I fucking love this commander. It's so dumb.
This thing's... God, you gotta post the list for that sometime. That's nuts. I love it. Oh my god.
Anyway, that's my weekly, monthly exploit check-in.
Oh my god. No, we haven't done anything that heinous yet. We've just been... I mean, I've been wrecking shop with Foundation's Niv. Oh, I won a game on a stream the other day with my mono green Jetmir Elf Ball deck.
Oh, Jesus.
You still need to play that against me. You need to put it back together so you can fight me with that. That sounds, like, so interesting.
It's so stupid. I managed to cast Jetmir with it. I'm pretty happy with that. But
that's awesome.
I won on a technicality. I only won because I didn't quite die to poison.
Oh, God.
Didn't quite die in poison.
Yep.
I'm not
quite
dead yet.
God. Do we want to... You got anything else on Innistrad, or do we want to jump into Aether Drift?
No, I think Innistrad... Oh, the one thing I will say... Well, no, I like it a lot. I'm probably going to buy a bunch more because I want a lot of those lands. I think the lands are fucking gorgeous.
Oh, my God. The art, so the old border,
that looks so cool.
The old border islands.
Old border islands and the old border mountains are just like every time I pulled one, I'm happy.
Yeah, like they're all beautiful, but like the old border islands, specifically the ship.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I've got a full set of the original printing of that as the lands for my mono blue pauper deck.
Yeah, they are just gorgeous, gorgeous. I've started tricking out a lot of my decks with them. Think it is a really good, fun set. And I think the last couple cards I really want from it, I might just get as singles. I want the Olivia, the movie poster Olivia.
Yeah.
And I think Grizzlebrand might be one of the only other ones.
Oh my god. I'm hoping to pick up a foil Grizzlebrand at some point.
Oh my god.
I've even pulled two of one of my favorite surprise commander cards that I'm glad people are probably gonna rediscover, which is Westvale Abbey. Because
Westvale Abbey fucks.
It is so fun. So Westfield Abbey is one of those like C tier cards that nobody really plays because it, you know, it takes a little bit of an investment. So if you don't have like a sacrifice deck or a token making deck, it doesn't have a lot of utility. But it's also just like a land when you throw it down and nobody suspects anything about it. You're like, okay, yeah, I can transform it if I sacrifice this. And so I play it. I think I told you I play it in my Judith Scourge Diva deck, which every time you cast an instant or sorcery, you can make a 2/2 devil that when it dies, deals 2 damage to each opponent. So best case scenario for transforming, I just like sack 5 devils, do 10 damage to everybody and flip it over. And every time I've done it. And I put out Ormondal, which is like 9/7 flying lifelink indestructible.
And haste.
And I'm like, haste. And I put out Ormondal and I'm like, yeah, okay. So Westfield Abbey transforms and it's a 9/7 indestructible haste, blah, blah, blah. And every time I've done it, somebody at the table has been like, I'm sorry, fucking what?
What?
And it is the most fun. Oh, it's so... Anyway, I've got 2 retro frames now for those, and I love them so much. Westfield Abbey fucking rips.
Oh, ooh, wow. The retro frame looks beautiful.
Oh, my God.
I know. I did. I also got one of the other big retro frames I wanted was Liliana. So I am happy with that.
Nice.
What is that? Oh, my God.
I just about got all the retro frame ones I wanted for anything that I actually like use or run. Yeah, it's a good set. I won't say it's a great set. I wish it could have been better, but I am happy. It's kind of what I needed right now, and I am apprehensive about what comes next.
You're apprehensive about Aether Drift or the other stuff?
Aether Drift mostly.
Why?
War.
This is my most. You know, say what you're gonna say.
No, I will let you take
your
center stage. Yeah, I will let you take it away from here.
Look, I'm sorry. I love that Magic is wacky racers with Pokemon. I was talking with a friend earlier today about why this works for me is because it's not tethered to a single plane. And so there is this gonzo visual cohesion going across multiple planes. I'm like, all right, sure, yeah, they're all wearing goggles because it's like practical for them to be racing through omen paths. And my son Loot is on many cards, and I think that all of the mechanics look sweet as hell, and all of the new vehicles look dope. And I think it's so funny that there's cards with yellow borders that are technically
legal. Oh, I've not seen these. Oh my gosh, they look immaculate. Let's go.
I recognize that this is not going to be everyone's vibe.
This isn't necessarily like a Magic player's Magic, but like I do like, I understand wanting to stick to sort of like the Magic sort of ethos or whatever, but like occasionally doing a one-off weird like balls to the wall type set like this, I think is just like fun. Like, I don't know.
So what do you... I am seeing a lot of this for the first time. I'm just looking at Scryfall. I've seen a lot of these, but I'm seeing a lot of them, like the vehicles and the full art treatments for the first time.
What do you think of the super cartoony full art
vehicles? I like the... If you're looking at Scryfall just on the default page, I like the really colorful outline art. I think I am definitely making a like... Demure Duskmourne shitheads deck. The finish, I think they're called the finish line variants. They look kind of like, I don't know, they look kind of like skateboard stickers or like hot rod, outsider art. I really don't like at all.
Really? Really? That's
no.
That's
fun though.
They look, for me, they hit like just some Secret Lair stuff.
Yeah,
like they are.
If they were Secret Lair, I think I would feel differently.
And that's why I'm like, I think they look nutty. But I like nutty. Like, I'm looking at the gas guzzler, and like, look at that little guy.
Yeah.
No, he's a friend.
I think like there's some phenomenal art. Like the full art of Hazoret, I think looks amazing. The oil deep ear Hulk, like some of this stuff looks fucking killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like Captain Howler Sea Scourge. I really like the shark pirate.
How do you feel about Far Fortune End Boss?
Art-wise, I like that ability is not great, if I'm being honest. Because it is like you are basically, so it takes at least 4 turns to get to max speed, right? Which is how that mechanic works. And I'm thinking about it like in terms of commander. And so maybe like in a draft format, in a limited setting where there's just 2 players, maybe that works up a little bit faster. But you are like, it's a what is it, raid bombardment, where it just pings for 1 every time you play something or every time you attack.
Yeah, it's a less picky raid bombardment.
Yeah.
It's
fine, I guess.
Dictate of the Twin Gods, Fiery Emancipation. There's a...
Terrorlines there.
I am excited to... That's my kind of jank. Like, that's... This is just screaming, like Far Fortune, you would love... who's the dwarf that gives you an additional 2 damage to each everything? Or, like...
Oh, is that Magda?
No, Magda Jenny's you a red whenever you cast stuff.
Okay, no, you're right.
I don't know. I think that's, I like that that seems cumbersome. Like this, like we've talked about before, like that is not a commander that's just going to build itself.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of, so the one aesthetic point that I really, really don't like so far is the just straight up sci-fi robots like Mendicant Core.
He's my friend.
Wait, can we see him?
I like the design, but I think like when people are talking about, okay, some of this is going too far, I think they are talking about that.
Yeah, so I'm going to just defend that purely on, we have the space opera set coming up later this year.
That's true.
And I bet we see more of these guys. Like it is very different. It looks like a Fallout character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am not strictly opposed to that. I don't know. Like, I wish I could better articulate what about this set just, like, really does kind of just do it for me. Like, it's so beyond, like, okay, so if we're thinking about this in the context of the past year of Magic, so where we had, like, murders at Karlov Manor and Outlaws of Thunder Junction and Bloomborough and Duskmourne, like, 3 of these are very, like, they feel very Halloween-y.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Halloween tethered to a single, it's like, this is the plane that's like that. And I think that, like, no, we're going through a bunch of different planes for a very specific reason. And so, like, getting kind of out there with the aesthetics, because they're so cohesive, like...
Yeah.
I'm willing to roll with the art direction so much more, because it doesn't just feel like, oh, yeah, this is... Howdy, partner. This is the cowboy hat plane. Here's your 10 gallon.
Exactly.
Like, it's, no, I'm going to this place and wearing the requisite gear because I have a thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I like the kind of Mad Max vibe on some of this. Like...
Yeah, I mean, like...
It's like Mad Max meets, like, especially with the art style, it's like Neo-Tokyo meets Mad Max in a way that, like, I kind of like.
Well, and I think I would have actually less of a problem if it had more of that, not necessarily that it was a united kind of Mad Maxy post-apocalyptic aesthetic, but if it wasn't quite as divergent. Like, I think one interesting idea would be, again, like kind of just playing into the narrative part here, what if places like Amonkhet and Kaladesh or Avishkar were still rebuilding from the invasion.
And yes, we're I would
still
have,
like would cool. that, and that is why everybody's fucking racing like these kind of Mad Maxy pieces of junk. But you still would have been able to have each like an Avishkar vehicle look like an Avishkar vehicle. I think yeah. that might have alleviated some of my.
I think that's aesthetic woes. I think that that's really fair. I think that at least for the planes that we go to, having it be more of the aftermathy type of vibe. I think that that's a total missed opportunity.
Because I really think, and I know I just brought that idea up for Innistrad, but I really, as I've been thinking about, okay, where's the story going and stuff, is that there's so much potential there for like the app, like, I know they had a set called The Aftermath, but like a literal aftermath of this thing that spanned, like when you go and look at March of the Machine, it spanned every fucking plane.
It was the multiverse.
And when you go and look at like, okay, all of this thing were completed, all of these people were completed, like these major gaps and breaks in stuff, right,
I mean, I think that it's narrative, like story wise,
mm-hmm.
like Avishkar is definitely like in its rebuilding stage. Like, I mean, it's they the former leader tries to throw a coup. Like, it is a thing. But yeah, like not having that represented in the art.
Like, have they done that in any set? Like,
yeah, Aftermath, kind of.
Okay.
Because
I feel like I haven't seen it enough. Like,
well, it's because no one bought the cards.
Like, I don't know. Like, I got into Magic because of All Will Be One and stuff. And so, like, to have it just be like, okay, we're kind of done now. I guess that has been the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, these were like universe ending baddies. And so part of this was drawn from me doing a deep dive into like the lore of the Phyrexians and the Brothers War and Mishra and Urza like separating and like everything that happened with Mirrodin and Karn and like having, so for like example, having Karn kill Elish Norn, like that's a fucking cool moment that kind of felt like it had been built to over this story that started in the 90s, like 20 plus years. And to just not be doing much with that kind of stuff now is, I feel like it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, right. I think missed opportunity really is, I think, the name of the game, and especially with the upcoming how much Universes Beyond stuff we're going to be getting. It's like, but just like, let me just do something with the, like, we don't even have to see Phyrexians, but just like deal with the fact that like
there just need to be like an artistic vibe. Like, if you could, you don't necessarily need to point it out, but if you can like kind of tell, like if you were just maybe you see like ruins from a different card, kind of like in reconstruction phase type thing, like something like that. It doesn't need to be like look the thing. It needs to like just have a vibe, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I guess we're also, that was 2023 when March happened. And mm-hmm. so like we're far enough out that I'm kind of okay to roll with it, but then it's also like, well, why weren't we seeing this as much with like Ixalan or Eldraine? Like, no, because like in a vacuum, I think that this set does look just like a joy, a blast, like as a vehicles enjoyer. As someone who's recently been brewing a lot of pilot decks, like
I have a good friend who has been pumped, and so she doesn't want any spoilers. So she keeps it because she knows I like look at spoilers and stuff. She keeps asking me like, "Hey, do you think a finish line bundle will be worth it?" And I I have to like walk a line of being like, I don't know, but. Yeah, I do want to ask how you feel about some cards, though.
Yeah, definitely. And ditto. And there's some cards that I want to show Vi for the first time.
I think two of these are not looking at this.
All right. You want to take
So I want to get your opinion on Spike Shell Harrier.
Oh, what color card is that?
Blue. It's a 5-drop.
Are these... Okay, hold up.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Five drops.
Spectral Heart. Oh, God.
Wait.
Jesus Christ.
I am surprised you haven't seen that yet.
I haven't been super online the last week or so, you know, for reasons.
Reasons.
I've missed the blue turtle shell.
I love this. Oh my god.
It blows you up. This is stupid complimentary.
So then underneath that, people have been talking about Transit Mage, drawn by the legendary Mark Poole.
Yeah. Is it Mad Max if you don't have a badass queer-coded character with a big stupid guitar?
So I think the thing, when you look at like the kind of ghost in the background, I think this is one of the Duskmourne shitheads.
This is absolutely a Duskmourne shithead.
The idea of, because a lot of people are like, oh, what are we doing? This is dumb. This is one of the cards that I looked at and I'm like, unfortunately, I think this fucks extremely hard. I think the idea of taking, here's 80s horror pastiche, the plane, and I think taking that and being the I choose the music heavy metal guy is unfortunately fucking rules, and I love it.
That's so much fun.
I do have some thoughts and feelings about how they're like the baddies and they're all very queer coded.
I have positive thoughts and feelings about that.
I mean, I have positive thoughts and feelings as well.
They're bad.
But it's one of those, I'm just like, it's interesting. So,
speaking of positive feelings, have you seen the Green District mascot?
Nor? What's...
Oh my god! Buddy!
Oh.
I'm gonna die.
Hello, sir.
He's a mountain! What is this?
You can ride the dog.
Buddy.
You can pet the dog!
You can literally pet the dog.
You can literally pet the dog. Oh my god. Oh my fucking.
That is beautiful. I love this. I am very much into this set now.
Oh my god.
And to give Vi, to give you an idea of the queer codedness of these characters, Winter is the kind of leader of the Duskmourne. And
have I shown you the Winter card yet?
I don't think you have.
I'm going to show you the full art.
Well, show Hello? Haunt the Network, too. Haunt the Network is a good example.
Ooh. Yeah, what... is that just a mono blue or mono black?
It's Dimir.
Here we go. Yep.
Okay. Oh my god, let's go! Oh. Like, he needs a... they need a redemption arc or something. Because, like, yes, I love a queer, like... Buckhead or whatever, but like we I don't know, I have mixed feelings about that.
Here's Winter has been my baby boy, and I have yet to put together a deck that I really like, because the red black green Winter is heinous. Like, it is fucking vile to play.
Oh my god, how dare you talk about my son like that.
It was one of the most oppressive decks I made. I just threw it together, and it is so, the ability that he plays is so like unfun for anybody, because basically it with a battle card or two in the deck, you can get hand sizes down to like one or two.
Yeah, it's funny.
It is very funny, but not for everybody else. And then, this is something I've actually noticed with a lot of the new kind of characters they've introduced, like Winter, Kellen, Lute. None of them have like cohesive or consistent color identities.
Lute does.
No, because the Lute that just dropped is mono green, and this Lute is like three colors. It's green, red.
The first Lute was also Teemer.
Oh, was
and
he?
That's actually something fun with Foundations is it, I'm fairly certain it's all supposed to take place like these are before. Like very origin story e cards for characters, like because the Niv-Mizzet is it and like at this point he's Wooburg, but and so I'm like, ooh, what happens to Lute such that he gains blue and red? Like, how are you going, sir? But no, this is consistent with the OTJ loot, which I was actually really surprised about that. Like, I'm sort of shocked that nothing happened to loot on Duskmourn to make him be a little bit different.
Yeah, I would maybe. What if he turns into like a ghost loot?
Right,
ghost loot.
I,
buddy.
Yeah. Also, if you cannot tell from the tone of my voice, I'm a big loot defender. I think
you know we're all loot. We're all loot heads here.
Like,
shout out little guys. You know what I mean?
I really like the design of this card as well. Like, I'm not sure how it's. Part of me wants to figure out how to build this as a commander or something, but like the exhaust for green and tap, he does a dark ritual. For blue and a tap, he ancestral recalls. And for red and a tap, he does a freaking lightning bolt. I love that.
Also, really quick, right below that, I would call it, because we were just talking about how we need more stuff like this. If Pyrewood Gearhulk right below it, where the flavor text says a mighty memorial to a fallen savior.
Oh,
see, like that's the kind of cool shit, because that's very obviously supposed to be like Ren and Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fuck with that. That's the kind of shit I kind of want to see more of.
I think that would be a great way to, yeah, just like introduce at least like kind of pay homage to the story that, like, you know, not everyone pays attention to. I pay attention to it, but that's, you know.
I mean, people do care about the story. People, like, it is a big part of what makes Magic so interesting to a ton of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. God. Sorry, I'm just like looking at all the art and like this stuff.
We have to also talk about the first card of its kind.
Which one?
The legendary artifact planeswalker equipment.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what? Where?
The Aether Spark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How are we feeling about that? I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't think it's like prohibitively, like the abilities it grants are too vile, but I do think it can create, because it can't be attacked. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage during your turn, put that many loyalty counters. So if you attach the Aether Spark to something, and then you attach something else to that thing that makes it hexproof or something else.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I think that snowballs into like a absolute nightmare to deal with, because then you have to attack an artifact, and then you have to attack the Aether Spark. And then by that time, like if you have something over a power of 5/5 that has been hitting people for free or something, you know, add one mana of any one color, or add 10 mana of any one color. I think it can go kind of. I'm excited to see what people come up with.
But
I think it can maybe go a little too crazy.
As I'm reading the card, I do want to point out Dies to a Braid. It's an artifact.
Well, I guess it can't be attacked.
Yeah, but it's a target artifact.
Be targeted. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't have hexproof. No, like you're right that this could snowball. I think it's a really cool card. I do not see this thing sticking around tables long enough to ever ult.
I mean, it's kind of on site when that happens, like when that shows up. Like,
yeah, it's sick as hell.
It might find something fun in, like, which I think a lot of people are going to be turning to, like, artifact decks. But I think in like really niche artifact decks, it might see some cool play. But outside of that, I think it's a neat idea. To give a planeswalker, because it's essentially the idea of giving a spark to
you can spark creature. Any creature, like that's fucking, like, flavor wise it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of unplayable artifacts, Radiant Lotus.
Yeah, people have been okay.
I think so this thing's a piece of hot trash. I mean, I'm gonna fuck with it, but I think it's a bad card.
Let me turn you on to game about the dumbass Boros vampire deck I've been making.
Okay.
Because I believe the only Boros vampire is Odric Bloodcursed. And his only ability is that when he enters, you create one blood token for each keyword of like 12 different keywords. And it's, you know, it's the main ones, lifelink, death touch, trample, haste, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then you just have blood tokens. So the deck has had to be built around creating more tokens, blinking Odric, giving, I just put a Chroma's Memorial in there.
I'm seeing where you're going with this.
Yeah, which I think should give it a little bit of gas. And so when I'm looking at this, and I have a deck with things like a Chroma's Memorial that make blood tokens, things like Krark Clan Ironworks, which turn artifacts into colorless mana, and then I see this, I think in my one particular instance, I really, 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 really want this card.
Yeah, yeah. I see, okay, you've sold me for this deck, but I guess my other question is like, cool, what do you do with all that mana?
Like, right, because if you already have six up, I don't know. Maybe there's a like the heinous card you're trying to play or something.
What X spell are you? Oh, no, you're casting the that angel, the miracle create angel tokens.
Oh, Jesus.
There we go. I mean, it's angels and not vampires, but like, I
think I have an angel. It's vaguely Innistrad flavored. I can make an angel work in there.
Yeah, yeah, I think you cast the Miracle Angels card. What is the name of that? Here, let me text. And it's white.
I will say that Mimeoplasm. There are certain cards I look at and I'm like, okay, no, this is for Commander. That Mimeoplasm is for Commander.
That but I love the Mimeoplasm, but yeah.
Like three colors makes copies. That's gonna be it's gonna be awesome, but that's gonna be a nightmare.
Yeah, Entreat the Angels is the card.
Oh, yeah. And where's the... I did want to talk about the... Because unlike the last couple sets, there have been only two Commander decks.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to talk about those.
Okay.
Because I've been seeing a lot of people talk about particularly the... I'm trying to find it. The zombies.
Oh, look, sick. But yeah, the Esper Zombies deck is that fully up on Scryfall?
It is not, but I'm looking at MTG Goldfish right now. And it seems like most of it's up here.
I had totally forgotten that this was an Esper Zombies. For whatever reason, I thought it was Orzhov. Like, until everything got revealed. I'm really into it. I'm really into both of them, to be honest. Like the teamer one, like teamer energy, like that's also cool as hell.
I think I saw a lot of people talking about Hashatan, Scarab's Fist, as like maybe the commander to start building around, because when you discard a creature card, you may pay two and a blue. If you do, create a tap token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 4/4 black zombie.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, which
you can do so, like
that's crazy.
As somebody who runs Is It Zombies, let me tell you, blue shit in zombies, like you get Necro Duality in this, and that gets
gross.
Stupid real quick, or like a Rooftop Storm.
Oh yeah, no, Rooftop Storm with this fucking.
I realize this is a very dumb minor complaint. I don't like any of the set symbols. I think they're really dumb.
What does a set symbol for this one look like? I don't care I don't care for either of them. If I have one critique of the set is like,
yeah,
I get that we're doing a checkered flag thing, but also like we're Magic the Gathering. It doesn't have to be a checkered flag. Right. Like that.
You could do like a flaming wheel or so. I don't know. Like
flaming wheel be sick as hell.
Do the Aether Spark. Do the thing the story is about.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, the checkered flag is, I mean, I guess from a design standpoint, the checkered flag is very easy to differentiate colors and is very basic. So,
yes,
I am going to say pragmatically, because I mean, like, we've run into set symbols like semi-recently that it's like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like, right. What is this rarity? What's going on? Like the super overdesigned Lost Caverns of Ixalan.
Oh yeah, no, for real.
Like, yeah.
I think that Blunt is fine. Let me take a look at the Aether Spark again, just to really see if we could have gotten
there. I think
there.
you can like oversimplify it. You know, like just give the vague outline.
Yeah, like, or I overshot.
But yeah, at the very least, I will be making a Winter Duskmourn deck, if nothing else.
As you should.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited about this set, not just for Commander, but like for Standard. I love that we're getting the second half of the Verge lines.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting, it looks like, I think all of the enemy Verges. Like, that's sick as hell.
Yeah, between this and Innistrad Remastered, like, the rare lands are all super good and super playable.
And the full art basics.
I love these full arts. Oh my god.
The full art basics that are the point of view.
Yeah.
I think
flavorfully, I don't know where they go outside of something like an Aether Drift, like, you know, themed deck. But I think just as a concept, they're really exciting, and I think they're
fun.
They're very beautiful portraits. Like, I
like them. I like when the lands kind of bring me into the set. Like Goombro really did that. I really like this. They're very detailed, so I'm not going to complain about, like, variety or whatever, but,
okay, Bugs, you know cool. What this reminds me of?
We
came up around the same time, so hopefully you'll have the same, point of reference. Did you ever watch Hot Wheels World Race?
Yes.
Yeah! Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yo!
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the planes card, and I'm like, what? This? Oh no, this is Hot Wheels World Race.
Yeah. No.
Oh my god, yeah, that's where, oh my, I love that movie. Fuck.
I think that's sick as hell. Like,
also, there's a green goblin, holy shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the forest is from the point of view of a goblin, so this is a good set, actually.
It's redeemed itself.
Something that I'm just really enjoying broadly is how they've introduced Muraganda.
Yeah.
Specifically the cycle of vanilla legendaries. Like, I think that that's so fun and so neat. And I'm like, yeah, Pyrox, Sarad Tyrant. It's a dinosaur warrior. He's two mana 4/1.
And they just don't, and they don't have any like rule sets.
No keywords, no nothing. Nope. They are vanilla creatures.
I was just thinking about that, how much I want more of that.
Because I think the last full vanilla legendary we got was Yargle and Multani, I think was the most recent. And I love Yargle and Multani. I love my big stupid frog. But Tarion World Tyrant, it's 5 mana. He's a 9/7. Like,
also, that's fucking, like, goddamn power creep. Holy shit.
Yeah, that is... nuts.
But I mean, nothing like stop it.
Kalaxion Hunger Tyrant, he's 1/2 black. He's a 7/2.
So dumb.
He's a crocodile. I love that.
I love all of their names. Like, I think these dudes just fucking rule. Pelorna Coral Tyrant, to 2 mana 0/8. Yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Thecorius has entered the building.
Oh my god.
Give it up for Dick Thickums. Like, fuck yeah.
Have we talked about the anime art curse cloth wrappings, the bondage mummy?
No. Which one is that full anime art? Hold on. I need to, there's too many freaking cards on this thing.
Also, anime art loot is fucking adorable.
That's my son right there.
Yeah, boy.
Let me.
Or it's under the showcase cards.
Showcase cards. Thank you. Oh wow, yeah, that is the bondage mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh geez.
That's a great card too. Holy hell.
Yeah, it's like a zombie lord.
A zombie artifact. Lord that lets you do embalm shit. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not mad about that.
I kind of, I don't know. I'll have to see the gold cards in person, because when I first, I think we talked about it on the pod, when I first heard like, oh shit, there might be gold borders coming back, I was like, fuck, yeah. Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And it looks, and I keep hearing from people, no, it looks much better in person, because I've seen like some videos of people toying with them.
Yeah.
It looks really, really yellow.
It looks, yeah, they look like the OG Pokemon cards.
Yeah. And that, I think it, like, don't get me wrong, this set is already pretty garish as it is, but like, there was something, so the old gold border cards that were only in like those stupid commemorative decks, but they had, they were just such a perfect, like, kind of darker gold. Oh,
I love like OG gold border cards. Like, they are truly immaculate.
I wish I still had some.
Right. Oh my god. Something that I'm like really excited about, like, just with this set though, is like, we still haven't gotten all of it spoiled yet.
Yeah.
And right. I'm waiting for the card that taps to generate X mana, where X is the number of goblins you control.
Oh.
Wait, is that supposed to be a thing?
Krenko's War Rig.
Yeah.
Oh my god, if that's a thing, Okay.
Yeah, hold on, I'm going back to Marrow's teasers. Because there's rules text. Tap to add red for each goblin you control.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Also, another thing, I'm like, okay, well, what do I want? Because they're bringing back saddle stuff. Yeah. I want, and I haven't seen any yet, I want more dinosaurs with saddle, because I want to make a cowboy dinosaur deck.
Oh my god.
No, oh my god.
I need that. Did you see that there's equipment vehicles?
No.
You can.
No?
How does that work?
They've got an equip cost or a crew cost. Yeah, it's okay. The card that got spoiled today. I don't think it's up on Aether Drift yet, but it's a pair of like rocket roller skates that you can put on a guy.
Sounds fun.
Gives them double strike.
Wait, more and more footwear. It's gonna have super boots, lava spur boots, lightning greaves, and those things.
I need to make a deck that's like the haberdashery.
Let's go.
That'd be amazing.
Have that stupid great detective's concept. Hat.
Oh yeah,
that's Jesus.
Yeah, what? I don't know. I'm overall, I'm like, I'm not gonna not play it for sure. Maybe this will get me on board with vehicles and stuff more than I have been in the past.
As a kind of recent convert to vehicles, I am an enjoyer.
I haven't played with them enough, I guess.
And like, you're saying.
Oh, no, you're good. I just haven't played them enough. Like, when I go to like shops and stuff, I don't see enough people playing them. So I don't really know how I feel about them. But yeah.
We haven't talked about the Brightfield glider yet.
Oh my god.
The possum
mount. The possum mount. I was literally just looking at the Brightfield glider.
Oh, yeah, buddy. No,
that's a magic.
I love that.
Like, oh. Yeah, I think that all things considered, like, this is not the flavor for everyone, and I get that if folks are, like, reticent, but, like, I'm really into the start your engines and exhaust and all of that. Like, I think that that's going to be, at least, like, for the limited environment, really, really fun to futz with.
Okay, really quick, I need to talk about Pact Doll Terror.
Color?
What?
It's a black 4-drop artifact creature toy.
Oh my god.
It's like a demonic RC car.
This makes me so happy.
Oh, that might be fun in Pauper.
Yeah, it's a common.
Yeah, it's an artifact. And it cares about artifacts. Ooh. Is this a Grixis artifact toy?
Am I getting excited for Aether Drift now?
Yeah.
You should. Join the club.
Know. We'll see.
There's a card called the Speed Demon.
Oh yeah, I'm getting that Speed Demon for sure.
Boost God.
Boost God.
We haven't seen a Boost God yet.
I need my Boost God.
Wait, okay. I bet it's the Boost God that gives you goblin energy, right?
Is there going to be like something you can sacrifice a goblin for energy?
No, that's going to be the one that, or the goblin mana.
Like tap for one.
I bet we get something Boost God. And it's
goblins that acknowledge the venerable Boost God, right?
Yeah, and its exhaust ability, I bet, is tap to add red for each goblin you control.
I think by the next time we record, it'll be out because it's coming out. God, when next week?
Okay,
it's coming out week after next, I think.
Okay, because like between this and like my newfound excitement for the Innistrad remastered and stuff, like, oh my god, that's gonna be rough. Like, low key choosing between the two.
It is standard legal release. Yeah, February 14th.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Oh wait, no, the pre-release is February 7th. Yeah.
Oh, so that is next week.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
Work. Okay.
Okay. God, I can't wait to draft this.
Like,
oh gosh.
Oh my god.
This is gonna be amazing.
Yeah. I think there's so much more about this to like than not like.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
If you can meet it where it's at, and it's a very, very, very silly, scenario and set, but like, I think it's pretty decent.
Yeah,
it's fun. Who doesn't like fun?
Yeah, literally.
Big dog.
Yeah, like
there's a couple dogs in here. I'm surprised. I'm really happy. I was just about to ask you to make me a dog typo.
Yeah,
just because I love buddies.
Oh my god. So much.
Well, I think that probably about does it. Unless y'all have something else you wanted to talk about.
I think that let's end on a positive note. This I'm just looking at the card names and I'm like, there's so many good freaking nouns. But yeah, let's call it there.
Hell yeah.
Hot. All right. Thanks y'all. thank y'all for listening. I hope y'all had a good time. Jordan, do you want to plug your things?
Oh boy, yeah. Go check out Dead Domain on YouTube and Twitch. Most recently, I went to DC for the inauguration, and by the time this episode's up, I should have a video doc on that fun experience on the channel. So go check that out, give it a watch, and subscribe to Twitch to watch weekly politics streams.
Fuck yeah. And you can follow me on Twitch and Blue Sky as well, at Bugs Matrix. That's Matrix with a Y. I just kind of do internet person things. And you can follow Vi and I on over on my Twitch where we play Attic Magic. That's Magic in an Attic. We play a lot of Pauper, Jumpstart, Cubing. And Vi, where can they find you?
They can find me on Blue Sky as the lesbian boyfriend.
What's your at?
My at is deadflower.exe.
I'm recording this in post because I was watching The Brutalist in theaters when this was being recorded. But I'm producer Rosa. I produce this show. I also host the Composting Podcast, a weekly movie review and comedy show. So check that out. Composting on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right.
As always, thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
And pass the turn.